first reading, this fourth Sunday in Easter, is from Acts chapter 20. Now, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility, and with tears, and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in amongst you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. Remember that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who are with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Revelation chapter 7. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes? And from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to me, O Lord. at that time, the Feast of the Dedication, took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking into the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe, because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Within the story of Acts, jumping from the conversion of Saul last week to this moment, leaves a bunch of stuff behind. All the missionary journeys of Paul, his conflict with Peter, and its resolution for the entire church. So you might ask, why did the lectionary make such a jump? Well, the first reading is usually key to the gospel in some way. And the fourth Sunday of Easter has usually become Good Shepherd Sunday. Depending upon the year, the gospel is taken from the Good Shepherd discourse found in John 10. And this year, it's from the end of that discourse. And its focus is the line, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." How do the sheep hear the voice? The reading from Acts is about the normal way we hear the voice of Jesus. You can't put God in a box. He could be speaking directly to you, or he could be speaking in some mystical way, but the normal way is through the means of the church. And specifically, those means are the office of the called ministry. And I usually refrain from quoting the Lutheran confessions beyond the small catechism, because the catechism is really all that we expect of laity. But on this point, the Augsburg Confession is worth hearing. The fourth article of the Augsburg is the one that the Reformation was all about. Justification. How we are made right with God. And the core of it states that our justification is by faith in the works of Christ. Our churches teach that men cannot be justified before God by their own strength, merits, or works, but are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith. But then, the natural question would be, how do we come about this faith that saves us? As the Catechism would say, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. How does that Holy Spirit typically work? The fifth article, right after that fourth main article in Augsburg, states that we may obtain this faith, the ministry of teaching the gospel and administering the sacraments was instituted. For through word and sacrament, as through instruments, the Holy Ghost is given, who works faith. The normal means of the sheep hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd is through preaching and teaching. Among all the other things that a minister might do, the core of the office is preaching and teaching. That's the sacramental nature. Because this is supposed to be the voice of the Good Shepherd, calling his sheep to faith and eternal life. This text in Acts is often chosen by ministers as a text for their last sermon at any given call. And it's appropriate for that, but not directly, because Paul, the man who is leaving, isn't really the called pastor. Paul's the apostle. And in this case, he's not really even passing through. He's on his way to Jerusalem, where he knows it will go about as well for him as going to Jerusalem went for Jesus. And the ship that he's on stops near Ephesus. And so he calls the elders of the church to come to him. Those are the pastors of the individual churches or congregations that have been established in that area, most through the work of Paul in those skipped chapters. And after they are gathered, Paul's speech does two things. First, he defends his apostleship amongst them. If you're familiar with Paul's letters, that's rather common. He was always having to defend his means and purposes. But here, Paul reduces the great value of his apostleship amongst those gathered ministers to three things. The first was his faithfulness to the task. The whole time, from the first day he was in Asia, they were witnesses to it. Paul served the Lord. Paul served the Lord in humility. Paul served the Lord through tears. Paul served the Lord through trials. So now, he's heading to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to him now. Paul's leaving is not the fault of those ministers or the churches or due to anything that they have done. It is a fact of Paul's continued faithfulness. The various prophets in every city that he goes through are telling him those tears and those trials will continue. But I don't count my life of any value, if only I may finish my course. And that the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel, Paul's ministry was one of faithfulness to that call. The second characteristic of the ministry of Paul was his preaching of all that was necessary, anything that was profitable. This is an outgrowth of his faithfulness. He says that he taught in public and from house to house. What did he mean by this? Remember that this is the gathered elders or ministers. The houses mentioned are probably their houses. Those early churches or congregations met in their personal houses. Paul, the apostle's ministry, took place in these two locations. It took place in the public square. That is what eventually led to Paul's leaving. He was preaching in public, testifying to the power of Jesus in word and deed, and a riot starts in Ephesus. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians, was the call of those who didn't like Paul's public preaching. Paul took on the idols of the day publicly. Paul, as the apostle, also attended their gatherings from church to church and preached. The call that Paul was fulfilling was to preach to those who had not heard and to those who had. And he did not shrink from declaring to them the whole counsel of God. And that's the third characteristic of Paul's ministry that he's asked them to recall. He would testify about Jesus to everyone. He would go to Jew and Greek, testifying of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And at this point, he doesn't think he will see any of them with his face again. And he, Paul, is innocent of their blood because he has proclaimed the kingdom to them. He's proclaimed it in law, in all of its harshness, and in the gospel with its full sweetness. He's called them to repentance and absolved them in public and in their churches, to Jew and Greek, to slave and free, male and female. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. But Paul is an apostle. He's handing this ministry not to other apostles. A creed that we said says we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. The church is based on the testimony of those apostles, those that directly saw and witnessed the resurrected Christ and were called directly. But the ministry that he's handing over is not to one, but to many. The ministry is handed in a unique way to each of those elders that have gathered. That's the purpose of the gathering. Paul gives those ministers already serving the final charge. How should the faithfulness, the preaching, and the openness of all of Paul form that? Paul charges them to be mindful in two areas. First, pay careful attention to yourselves. When Paul is gone, fierce wolves will come among you, not sparing the flock, speaking twisted things. They will come from among you. Elsewhere, Paul would worry that having preached to others, he might himself be disqualified. He would also talk about those who had made a shipwreck of their faith. His charge to these gathered ministers was to pay attention to themselves. It might be necessary that false doctrine come, but don't let it come through you. Woe to those who lead these little ones astray. It would be better if they had not been born, Jesus would say. If your preaching, if your voice is to be the voice of the shepherd, pay attention. Second, pay attention to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And this right here is part of the difference between that apostle and the elder. The apostle would go from house to house, from church gathering to church gathering, but these elders' charges were local. The flock is one. It's all the flock of Jesus, but it gathers in specific places with specific under-shepherds. The apostolic church is entrusted to these pastors. Faithfulness is about preaching the same doctrine handed to you. Faithfulness is about being alert both to your own call and its limits. And faithfulness is about knowing the voice and the word aren't actually yours. I now commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. When the voice becomes your own, it's the voice of that wolf. When the message comes from your own desires, it's not the voice of the shepherd. When you're relying on your own strength, it will fail. And the sooner it does, the better. But to carry out this office is to rely on God, his word, and his grace. His word, because this is the truth. His word, because it is the way. His word, because it's the lamp for our feet and the light for our path. His word, because there is only one word under heaven by which all men are to be saved. That word of the law, which calls us to repentance and tells us how we are to walk. And that word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that gospel is for all of those that you have been made overseer of. The gospel is also necessary for you. Because you can't carry out this office without making big mistakes. It's just not possible. If there's one thing that being in the office teaches is that our absolute reliance upon the grace of God. We're all beggars. If we didn't cling to that grace for yourself, there'd only be two options: despair or apostasy. That watching yourself is mostly about not ending up in either one of those places. Remembering that the grace is also for you. That Jesus says that I give the sheep eternal life and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Paul charges those gathered ministers and then he consecrates them. He commends them. He gives them the law. Do this. And then he preaches them the gospel. It's already done in Christ. The wolf is getting to the sheep. So stay faithful to the call. Preach the word to all who would hear. And know that the sheep hear the voice. Amen.